Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for October 4th, 2019.
Good morning, fellow pilgrim. What a delight to be with you. In our last podcast, I began to say, in so many ways as I felt God could help me, what it is to live and to walk by faith and believing, and how simple it really is. Over the years, as I mentioned in that last podcast, I've seen so many people, and in my own life, I've struggled with this thing about have faith. I've had people say to me, Tom, in a situation that was maybe difficult for me, Tom, have faith. And oftentimes when they've said it, when the word faith comes out of their mouth, it's like it's huge and 10 feet tall. And I say, wow, I don't know if I got that. But that's a misunderstanding of faith. It's simply turning to Jesus and looking to him. And I ended last podcast talking about the little story about John Wesley, who wanted to understand in order that he might believe. And the brother who was with him said, Brother John, you've got to understand this. You believe, and then understanding comes. And that's the way we grow in the faith. We plant that mustard seed of faith. And as that mustard seed grows, and it grows as we continue to believe, not continue to build our life on understanding, but believe what the Scripture says to us, what the Holy Spirit comes and says to us, in the name of Jesus. I want to read a little from the Sermon on the Mount, this podcast. Years ago, and I've mentioned this before, there was a man by the name of E. Stanley Jones, and he was a marvelous missionary, and I got to meet him in the late portion of his life. But he said something that absolutely stirred me and stirs me to this day, and it was concerning the Sermon on the Mount. And I had read through the Sermon on the Mount several times, and I would come to this portion in the fifth chapter where he says, For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I can remember I would come to that again and again, and I'd say, holy mackerel, how in the world am I going to be perfect? But E. Stanley Jones said this. He said, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, don't be seduced by that understanding that needs to precede or succeed faith. He said, look at the Sermon on the Mount in this manner, not as a prescription of what you are supposed to go and do, but rather a description of the life of Jesus in you can go and do. And when I begin to exercise faith in the Sermon on the Mount and the things that Jesus teaches, I begin to realize that when I read that verse, therefore, you're to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. I don't have to be condemned by that anymore. I can say, Lord Jesus, you are inside me, and by your Holy Spirit, you can enable even me to one day become perfect. We call that salvation. We call it sanctification, maturity, whatever you want to say. But there is a perfection that comes because of the one who lives within us. After he says that at the end of the fifth chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, he goes right into this portion, and I'd like to read it to you from chapter 6, verse 1. Now again, verse 48 of 5 said, therefore you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Then he begins the sixth chapter with this verse 1 and first word, beware. Beware. That's something you hear when you're going to walk into a forest and there are things you got to watch out for. He's just told them he wants them to be perfect as their heavenly Father is perfect. He says, beware of what? And here's the way he writes it or preaches it in Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Beware. In other words, the flesh wants to go up and say, okay, I'm going to be good. I will be good. I will be perfect. I'm going to try so very hard. Let me tell you, you'll never make it. That's why he says, beware. Beware that it's got to be that resurrection life in Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 2 of chapter 6, when therefore, or also, when you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. It's the same kind of beware. You don't do things to be seen by men. You do things to please God. You receive the Lord Jesus, and he becomes the perfect one in you. By the coming of the Holy Spirit, he enables you to live out the implications, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 3 and 6, he says, and when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And then he talks about this, which is stunning and life-changing if we can ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to pray. He could also use the word beware when you pray. He doesn't use it here in the fifth verse. I'm inserting it. But I believe he could have said, beware that when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many, many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that a marvelous thing to know? That prayer closet was when they would take their veil or their garment and pull it over their heads so that they could not see anything. And that was their secret prayer room. They were all by themselves in God and with God. And they could pour out their hearts to God in that simple place that the scripture, in the words of Jesus, says goes your inner room. And when you've shut the door, shut everybody else out, shut yourself in with God, begin to pray with him. And he says, even before you begin to pray, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In other words, as a result of that, Jesus then goes into the prayer that we've talked so much about. This prayer expands phenomenally as we grow in Christ. Now, verse 8 says, therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. In other words, because Father knows what you and I need before we ask him, pray then in this way. And how does he begin? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy, set apart to be worshipped, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Whose purpose is this then when we're praying? If Jesus is teaching us that the Father knows what we need before we ask him, and then he teaches us this prayer, what is he saying the thing that we need to know first? What is he saying that the Father needs us to know? That he is holy and he's in heaven, and that he wants us to pray that his kingdom, his rule, his government on the earth might come onto this earth. So he prays it. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Heaven's not a problem. Things are just fine there. Things are going according to God's plan. The place where the kingdom needs to come is here. And as we pray, the Father is saying, here's what I want you to understand that I know you need to know, that I know you need before you ask me. You need to pray this, that the kingdom will come into and through you, and that my will, your heavenly Father, will be done on earth. And then he talks about verse 11 in that prayer. On earth as in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember in another place in that sixth chapter, Jesus will say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's at the end of the sixth chapter. But what he's saying to us is that we need daily bread. Remember in the Old Testament when the manna would come, they would have enough manna for the day. And if they tried to save some manna from one day to the next, the manna would turn sour and inedible. Except on the day of Sabbath, they could gather enough before the day and they would have enough for the Sabbath. The point is the dailiness of bread. You and I don't need tomorrow's revelation. We're grateful that he was with us yesterday and gave us what we needed. But he's saying that when you come to me, your Father knows that you need daily bread. Can I repeat that word over and over and over? Daily bread. Daily. When does it come? Daily. When is it new? Daily. Moment by moment. Moment by moment. And that's where God wants us to live. So the Father knows what we ought to pray. And Father is saying to you, I'll use myself, Tom, don't you know that what you need in every moment of your day is me? Let me give you fresh bread, like that fresh manna that came so daily through Moses in the Old Testament. I want you to know, son, that you can have that bread daily. So ask me for it. This is the way I want you to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily, daily bread. And then he says, forgive us our debts or sins as we have also forgiven our debtors. In other words, forgiveness always paves the way, opens the door for daily bread. If you don't forgive those who have sinned against you, let me tell you, the bread is kind of settled at the door of your home, the door of your heart, and is not in you. Forgive. If you forgive your debtors and do not be leading into temptation, Father will never lead you into temptation, and he'll deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and in the power and the glory, for just a little while? No, forever. It all comes from the Father. So when we pray and we get in our inner room and we're quiet before the Lord, we ought to be saying, Father, you already know what I need. I'm not sure I know what I need. How do you want me to pray? Here's the way I want you to pray. For the kingdom to come. For your daily bread to come. For you to forgive. And to not be led in temptation. I'll never lead you into temptation. And then in the 14th and 15th verses, after he teaches the prayer, he adds this, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So it's a pretty important thing to pray the way that Jesus is teaching us. I would suggest, if you get the time, find yourself in your quiet place. Go back and beginning in the first verse of chapter 6 all the way down. And when you get to the prayer that Jesus tells us this is the way to pray, pray it so slowly that every word impacts you by faith and believing. I believe my Father is in heaven. I believe his name should be hallowed and holy. I believe his kingdom can come on this earth through me and his will be done. I believe that he can give me daily bread. I believe that he can enable me to forgive those who have sinned against me and for me to forgive those. And I believe that I can live in the kingdom of God on this earth and bring glory to you, Father. By faith, pray that prayer again and again. And I believe you'll experience that little gift that I've just mentioned. I cannot tell you in probably the last five years, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, it just gets larger and larger. Father knows what we need to pray, then pray as he leads. Holy Spirit, I ask you in the name of Jesus, to come with us this morning as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, that in simple childlike faith we'll just come and say, I believe, Father, that you know what I need and what I need to pray. So teach me to pray. And I'll begin with this prayer, Father. Expand it by the love of your Spirit that you demonstrated through Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.